Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here. We do have many who are visiting with us. We are thankful that you are here, and we hope that you'll be back every opportunity that you have. A few quick announcements to jump into. As was mentioned, the deadline for Light the Fire is today. If you are planning on going and you have not filled out an application yet, you can still get that to me on Tuesday, and you'll still... it'll still be fine. I'll still have time to get the t-shirts ordered and all that, so I won't turn that in until the latter part of the week. But if you can get it to me today, that'd be even better. And so I know we've got a lot from here who have already signed up. I've had a lot come in through the mail, and so we're looking forward to a great event together. Every year I always offer to those of the congregation who want to buy a shirt the opportunity to buy a shirt if you're not going to the event. Obviously those who have registered, you'll get a shirt at the event. But sign-up sheet is on the podium out in the foyer. Tuesday will be the last day to sign up if you want to get one. And as you can see on there, the checks need to be made out to the church. And if you will, give that to me, and then I will put that give that to the elders just so that I can mark you paid. And the sizes are up there price-wise. And so if you're interested in that, the sign-up sheet's out in the foyer. This year, our theme deal, we're going to be looking at evidences for God's existence and how we can show that, how we can prove that. During the nightly lessons, the Bible study, during the day, we're going to focus in on how to prove that the Bible is God's Word. And so that's kind of where the theme for the shirt came from. I've got a friend of mine who's a graphic designer and who does the shirts for us, and he always...
is there a manual that we could buy that y'all going to study from?
No, it's just sermons that the guys who are coming put together. And so if you're interested in that, that's there, and I hope you'll take advantage of that if you want to. Over in the fellowship hall, if I know the ladies' class, or those who are in the ladies' class, you've already seen it. There are a ton of clothes over there. Those are clothes from my dad's house. Most of the shirts are 2X or 3X. I don't know what sizes the pants are, but if you step over there, you'll be amazed. And that's not all the clothes that he had. That's just the ones that I got because I didn't have any more room in the vehicle to bring any more than that. But if you want to go over there and look, you're welcome to do so. Monday, I'm taking it all to the mission, but I wanted to give you the opportunity for those who can wear those sizes to take a look. If you see anything that you want, grab it and take it home with you. Because like I said, it's just going to the mission after that. One final thing, Ladies' Day meeting next Sunday at 5:15. And so Ladies' Day meeting next Sunday at 5:15. This coming Thursday is a day set aside by the nation as Thanksgiving Day. A day for turkey and dressing, a day that most people spend with their family and with their friends. But also, as the name implies, a day of giving thanks. In fact, our national government started it for that very fact. Some families have a tradition where they go around the table and say what they are thankful for. That can be a tradition that's very dangerous depending on the members that you have in your family. It can also be a tradition that can be very comical if you have young ones that are there. But Thanksgiving is not a concept that was thought up by our government. It's a concept that has existed, and it is a concept that we find throughout the Scriptures. Depending on the translation that you use, the word thank is found in 26 verses of the Bible. The word thanks is found in 71 verses. The word thanksgiving is found in 27 verses. And the word thankful in 3 verses. Well, over 125 times, the Bible expresses this idea of being thankful. The book of Leviticus in chapter 7 speaks of a thanksgiving offering that was to be given. In Leviticus 22:29, we read, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." The psalmist speaks often of being thankful throughout the Psalms. The verse on the front of the bulletin this morning, Psalm 100 and verse 4, into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful for him and bless his name. Paul spoke of the fact that Christians should be thankful to God always. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." As he wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, "In everything, give thanks." So for the Christian, being thankful to God, being thankful for the things that we have, it's not a once a year occasion. But it should be an attitude that we possess every day. And so this morning I want us to notice four things. Four things that we all can be thankful and should be thankful for. These are not four things that are new to you. These are things that we've noticed in other sermons in the past. These are things that, Lord willing, if I continue to stand in this pulpit, we'll notice again. There are four things of which we should be reminded. Four things of which we should be thankful. Number one this morning, I am thankful for my family. We should be thankful for our family. As we think about this, two points that I want us to notice. First off, I'm thankful for my physical family. You know, being thankful for our physical family is a concept that is taught in Scripture. While on the cross, we see Jesus being concerned for the well-being of his mother and for a dear friend. You remember in John chapter 19, in verses 26 and 27, as he's hanging there and he looked out upon the crowd, he sees his mother and he sees John. And he says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, he says, "Behold your mother." Jesus loved his family and he wanted to make sure that they were taken care of, that they were looked after despite the suffering that he was dealing with. Jesus was grieved at the passing of a man by the name of Lazarus. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But if you notice verse 36, it gives a little bit more context of why he's weeping. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Jesus teaches very clearly the need to love and thus to be thankful for our physical family and friends. But secondly, I'm thankful for my spiritual family. The idea of the church being a family is taught throughout the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, as Paul is writing to Timothy and talking about things concerning the church, he says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Young men as brothers. Older women as mothers, younger as sisters, with all purity." Paul illustrates there the idea that this is to be a family. And as such, we should be thankful for it. Is it a perfect family? No. Is it a dysfunctional family at times? Maybe. But it's a family. We love one another. We care for one another. We're there for each other. Even more important than our physical families is our spiritual family. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross daily and follow after me is not worthy of me." Was Jesus saying that our physical families aren't important, that we're not to love them? No. But they're secondary than when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God, when it comes to those spiritual things. Jesus clearly teaches that our love for him must outweigh our love for our physical families. That principle is echoed in the admonition by Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith." Notice what Paul says. Paul says, yes, we help all individuals that are in need, but we pay special attention to our brethren, to our family. Paul tells us to be thankful for the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." How often do we thank God for our spiritual family? How often do we thank God that we have this group of brothers and sisters that we can lean upon in hard times, that we can call upon when we're in need, that we in turn can be a support for people when they need it and can help them when they need it? As I think about things that I am truly thankful for, number one this morning, I'm thankful for my family. Number two, I'm thankful for my faith. I'm thankful for my faith. The word faith is used in two different ways in the New Testament. And I'm thankful for both of these concepts represented by this one word, faith. First off, number one, I'm thankful for my personal faith. Sometimes when the word faith is used in the Bible, it's speaking of an individual's personal faith. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 9, as we read about this man who Jesus has healed, his servant, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." What's he referring to? He's referring to this man's personal faith in him. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he, the individual, must come to God. Must believe that he is. And must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice what's under consideration there. It's an individual's personal faith. Now, why am I thankful for that faith? I'm thankful for it because I acted upon it. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I'm thankful that I believed and as such acted upon that belief. And the result of that obedience, I'm a Christian. I am one of the saved. I'm part of the family of God. I'm thankful for that faith because it helps me through difficult times. That's one of the great things about our faith. I heard an atheist say one time, religious people use their faith as a crutch. Every time I think about that statement, I'm reminded when we were living in Demopolis. Micah's starting to laugh because she knows the story I'm about to tell. We were living in Demopolis, and I was teaching the youth group. And we were talking about this idea of faith and how some people say, well, you use your faith as a crutch. And one of the girls in the youth group spoke up. Was it Kristen or Crystal? Kristen? I think it was Kristen. She spoke up all of a sudden and she said, "My faith's a power scooter." Either way, it was traded the point. That wasn't the direction I was going to go with it. But the idea of our faith being a crutch, well, what does a crutch do? Well, it helps a person go when they're having difficulty going, right? It's there to provide assistance when there's something wrong, something not working properly. Well, then yes, I use my faith as a crutch in difficult times. I lean upon it. I use my faith in God to help me to keep going in situations where I might not otherwise have been able to do so. And guess what, friends? I make no apologies for so doing. When's the last time you thanked God for the fact that you believe and the fact that you obey and thus are now part of the family? But secondly, under this point, I'm thankful for the faith. Faith in the Bible doesn't always refer to my personal belief, but sometimes it refers to the gospel system. It's a figure of speech called a synecdoche. It's where a part is used to represent a whole. And in this sense, the word faith, part of the gospel system, is used to represent the entirety of that system. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23, as they're talking about Paul, they said, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches," watch this, "the faith which he once tried to destroy." Is he talking about each individual's personal faith? No. What did he once try to destroy? He tried to destroy Christianity, did he? I mean, he was determined to stamp it out. Of course, that didn't happen. And now he is preaching for Christianity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, it says, "For I now preach the gospel." Well, here it said that he preaches the faith in Galatians. In 1 Corinthians, it says he preaches the gospel. Friends, they're one and the same. He preached the same message. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, Jude writes, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Well, was it a personal faith that was once for all delivered? No. It was a system of faith. It's the gospel, Christianity. I'm thankful for the system that was put in place by God. A system that allows me and you to access the blood of Christ. A system that allows us to be forgiven of sins, to have that slate wiped clean so that we can stand before God just and pure, and so that we can one day have heaven as our home. I'm thankful that I don't have to question, I don't have to wonder if what I'm doing is right, because God gave me what is right. He's told me what I need to do, how I need to live. Let me ask you, friend, are you doing what is right? Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed that plan that God put in place so that you can have that forgiveness, so that you can contact the blood of Christ? I'm so thankful that our God didn't leave us to figure it out on our own, because we would have never figured it out, brethren. When I reflect, when I think about the things that I'm thankful for this morning, I'm thankful for my faith, and I'm thankful for the faith. Number three, I'm also thankful for my father. Obviously, I'm thankful for my earthly father, but the father I'm talking about here is, of course, our heavenly father. And in connection to the father, you can't mention the father without mentioning the son. Can't mention the son without also mentioning the Holy Spirit. We're talking about all of the deity, all of the Godhead. Of those references that we've noticed in the introduction, of the number of times that the idea of giving thanks is found, overwhelmingly those references refer to our thankfulness to God and for God. Why am I thankful for the Father? Well, I'm thankful that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I'm thankful that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, Galatians 4:4. I'm thankful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I'm thankful that Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:6-8. Oh, brethren, I'm thankful that that tomb was found empty because Christ rose again. I'm thankful that our Savior ascended and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm thankful that He is there making intercession for me. I'm thankful for all these things and so much more. When's the last time you prayed to God and just thanked Him for being God? When's the last time you prayed to God and just thanked Him for His Son? When's the last time you prayed to God and thanked Him for the Holy Spirit and the book that He gave us? I think about things that I'm thankful for. I'm definitely thankful for my Father. Then fourth and finally this morning, oh brethren, I am thankful for my future. I am thankful for my future. Friends, no matter how doom and gloom the outlook of the world gets, my future is one of hope. No matter how dark the painted picture of the world's future is, my future is bright. No matter how down the stock market goes, my future is only going up. Because my future is a home in heaven. My future is an eternity with God the Father, with Jesus the Son, with the Holy Spirit. My future is an eternity with those who have gone before us who are faithful children of God. I am purchasing stock that will never depreciate. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." My future is one that is promised. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:1-3. Friends, my future is one that is promised. My future is one that is reserved. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Peter writes, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. My future is one that is a reward. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, as Paul's life is drawing to a close, he says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only. Paul says it's not just for me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Friends, that reward awaits every faithful child of God. When I think about the things that I am thankful for, and the things that all Christians should be thankful for, I'm thankful for my family, especially the spiritual family of God. I'm thankful for my faith and also the faith. I'm thankful for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And friends, I'm thankful for my future. Let me ask you this morning, are you thankful for these things? Are you a part of that spiritual family? Have you obeyed the faith? Have you become one of God's children? Do you have hope of heaven? Friend, if you don't, why not change that this morning? Do you believe in God and His Son? Are you willing to turn from sin? Are you willing to confess that belief, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Maybe you've done that, you are a Christian, but because of sin, you've separated yourself from God. Friend, come back to Him this morning. You want to give us a reason to be thankful and rejoice this morning above all the things that we already have? Something else we can be thankful for is someone who comes home. Is that you this morning? Friend, if it is, come right now as together we stand and sing.